Our first scripture reading today is from Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not put to shame. Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." These are God's words for God's people. Thanks be to God.
We thank God. Lord, I do thank you for this sermon today. I ask that you would speak through me, God. Touch the hearts and the minds of your people who are here, God, and those who are listening by podcast, that you would bless them and touch them and heal and deliver, meet them at their very point of need. And we do thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I give honor to God and to our board and our trustees and our elders and our congregation today. I just thank God for each one of you again. I thank you all for coming out today. Just a little background today on my topic. It's called Maintain Your Focus. And if you'll go to the next slide, it's a big part of the sermon. So we have an eagle here, if you can all see him. And this picture just really caught my attention because it's an eagle with a crow on his back. And so a while back, I was sitting and talking with a friend, and I said, I feel like God is doing some new things. I feel like he's doing some new things for me. And the friend said to me, go ahead and go with your feeling, but maintain your focus. So even though you feel like that, make sure you're continuing on with what God has called you to do. Maintain your focus. And so I then was looking at this picture, and I looked at the eagle. At first, I saw the crow, and I thought, well, don't we all go through that, where people try to get on your back and distract you and keep you, you know, and hinder you from going and doing what it is God has called you to do. And then I looked at it again. I was sitting with a different friend, and I showed her the picture, and I was telling her, this is kind of where I'm going with this sermon. What do you think? And she said, you know, I see the crow who's, you know, making a big scene on his back and trying to distract him and keep him from going where he needs to go. She said, but look at the eagle. So I looked at the eagle, and the eagle, never once did he swat the crow. He could have. He didn't swat the crow away. He didn't look, you know, from side to side, either side. He just stayed focused. He maintained. He had some place to go. He had something to do. He didn't get distracted by a crow being on his back, being a clown. And there's other pictures. And in some of the other pictures, this is just the one Lori and I settled with, but there's another one, and the crow has his foot up, and he's, I mean, it's just like he's really trying to distract this eagle, but the eagle maintained his focus. He never stopped looking straight ahead with what he had to do. He soared high and maintained his focus. And so that's where my sermon is coming from today. We experience obstacles. We experience distractions. Things try to stop us from doing what God has called us to do, from doing what our dreams are even. But we have to maintain our focus. Just like the eagle. I go back to this picture often when I get distracted from things. And Lori and I were looking at the picture, and we were talking about it, and I was telling her where I was going with it. And she said, that reminds me of my niece. She said, my niece was a young mother, and she had a little kid. And she would be doing her homework, and she went back to school. She'd be doing her homework, and the kids would be on her back, and they'd be, Mom, do, you know, and she just maintained her focus. She had to get that assignment done. And that's what I want to encourage us, that as the enemy, the devil tries to stop us. He brings things. He brings sickness. He brings kids. He brings grandkids. He brings troubles to us to try and stop us from being and doing what God has called us to do and be. But we have to maintain our focus. We have to know what God promised us. If he promised you he was going to work this situation out for you, if he promised you he was going to heal you, if he promised you he was going to meet that need for you, you have to stay focused on that no matter what comes, no matter what distractions come. You have to stay focused on what it is he promised you. Isaiah 50 and 7 says, because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. We have to set our face like flint. We have to stay focused. We have to, and that just kind of means stay like a stone. I'm not looking to the left. I'm not looking to the right. I don't hear you. I don't hear what you're saying. I have a goal that I have to meet. I have a plan that God has for me, and I cannot be distracted by the things that the enemy brings, by the things that, you know, I mean, I know we've all been there when, you know, you're working on something and then just the phone rings. Or even when you're praying, you said, I'm going to pray and I'm going to do it. I'm going to pray for 20 minutes. I'm going to sit here in my prayer area and I'm going to pray. And the second you close your eyes to thank the Lord, the phone rings. A distraction. Sometimes we have to put it on mute to stay focused on it. I know if I spend this time with God, I know these prayers are going to be answered. I know I'm going to be in fellowship with him, and I know he's going to bring me joy. And, you know, I have to spend this time with him. I cannot be distracted by the telephone. I cannot be distracted. I cannot be distracted by family issues. There are things that really aren't even important, but it feels like it at the time that comes to distract you. The kids all call. Oh, the grandkids are a mess. We need you, Grandma. Can you help us? You have to stay focused. Stay focused on what God has called you to do, on what his plan is for you. You have to stay focused. So there's a story in the Bible that I just love, because this man in the Bible, he had to stay focused, and it was very difficult. And it's in Genesis 37, 5 through 11. And this is the story of Joseph. And I preach on him a lot because I really like his story. It reminds me a lot of myself. A lot of obstacles come in our lives. And I can think of all my journeys when I was trying to get through school. There was one obstacle after another, but I had to stay focused. And I didn't always. So that's why I can teach this lesson. I didn't always stay focused. There were some things that would just stop me in my tracks for months. But I had to come back and, again, maintain my focus on what I needed to do. So this story reminds me, not the things that he did, but just how he had to keep coming back and refocusing on what it was God had, the plan, the dream God gave him. So let's read Genesis 37, 5 through 11. Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him. All the more, he said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well, his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in his mind. Sometimes when we're going through and we're needing to maintain our focus, but like Joseph, you can't always tell your dream to everyone. They hated him for it. So they made a plan. If you know the story of Joseph, they made a plan to get rid of him. I mean, can you even imagine that? I have five siblings. There's six of us. We've all gotten on each other's nerves, but I can't imagine that they would want to bury me in a pit and sell me off for something that I might have said or done. So I can't even imagine what Joseph would have been feeling. But that's what they did. They buried him in the pit first, and then one brother came to his senses and said, "No, let's just sell him." So they sold him off to Potiphar. He had to maintain his focus. He knew what God said. God said in that dream, you're going to be needed. There's a plan I have for you. You're going to have to save all of them. But Joseph had to stay focused, because can you imagine the anger he would have felt towards those brothers that could do that? "How could you do that? I'm your brother. How could you bury me and then sell me?" But he had to maintain his focus. And he did, because he had that call of God on his life. He went on into Potiphar's house. He ran because his gift made room for him, is what the Bible says. He went on in and he became the leader of Potiphar's house. Wherever he went, he maintained that focus and he rose to the top. So he became the leader in Potiphar's house. Of course, another distraction. Potiphar's wife, who I'm sure was a beautiful woman, came at him and offered an affair. Let's have an affair, Joseph. Joseph ran out of the house. I love that because I just can't even imagine that these days. But he took off running out of that house like, no way. I have integrity. I honor Potiphar. He's put me in charge of everything. So she lied on him and he put him in jail. There again, you can lose your focus. I did the right thing. Why am I in jail? What am I doing here? But again, that gift made room for him. He rose to the top, to the leadership in jail. He rose to the leadership because God had a plan. And I always like this aside. Each time he rose to the top and became in the leadership, because in God's ultimate plan, he had to be a leader. Well, he had to learn it somewhere, right? He had to learn those skills. So in each one of those times that he could have lost his focus and not maintained that focus of God has a plan for me, there's a need for my life, he had to learn. He had to learn how to be a leader so that when he did get to that point, which he did, he got to that point where after jail, he rose to leadership. Then he was able to help the governor, and he appointed him second in Egypt. So he was second only to the leader of Egypt because that gift made room for him, but also because in each of those times of trouble, he maintained his focus. God has a plan for me, and I cannot look to the left. I cannot look to the right. I cannot give in to my circumstance. Sometimes our circumstances will make us want to just say, oh, I just can't do it anymore. I just give up, you know, and we want to, and sometimes they are just that harsh, but we have to maintain our focus. But no, I can't. God has a plan for me. He has a plan for my life, and I can't give up because I didn't get the job this time, or because I didn't get the house that I wanted, or even because I'm not well right now, but God is a healer. I can't give up. I can't give in. I have to maintain my focus. He has a plan for me. God has a plan for me. And he has a plan for each one of you. And I know you know what God is calling you to do. And I bet if I came around with the mic, you could each tell me what the enemy tried to do to cause you to lose your focus on what God has for you to do, on what God has promised you. He's caused you to try and lose that focus. But I'm telling you today, maintain. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't hear what the naysayers are saying. Don't listen to the negative talk, but keep focused. Maintain your focus on what God has called you to do. And I guarantee you, God will come through for you. He'll bring you out of whatever that situation is, whatever that distraction, that obstacle. I think of the gymnast is what I really was thinking of while I was working on this sermon, because the Olympics just went on and gymnastics is my favorite of all of them. The things that they do, of all of those sports that they do. And I like the gymnasts a lot, but I think of how easy it would be that if you fell once to lose your focus and not be able to get back up, especially on that balance beam where you have just that. That's it. You don't have anywhere. There's nowhere else to go. That if you fall, how easy it would be to lose your focus. But I watch those girls and guys get up on there and do it again. They may flip, they get up, and then they bloop, bloop, bloop. I mean, it's like amazing to me. They keep their focus no matter what it looks like, no matter what obstacle has come. They keep their focus. And that's what we have to do today. We have to keep our focus on God and knowing that he has a plan for our lives. So one more example, one of the best, and I'll go through it a little quicker. But my second example is Jesus, because who better to show us how to keep our focus, amen, than our Lord and Savior. In Matthew 4, 1 through 11, and what I love about Jesus is that he shows us exactly how to keep our focus on God, and he uses the word. That's exactly how we keep it. When the enemy tries to tell us we can't make it, we have to tell him, but no, God says I'm more than a conqueror. You use the word of God to combat those negative thoughts, those things when the devil tries to distract you and keep you from keeping your focus on what God has for you. So let's read Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Jesus answered, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and the angels came and attended to him. Just a couple of points in that, and then I'll be done today. But a couple of points in that. First, he had to talk back to him, and he used the word of God. He told him, nope, the word. And what's kind of neat to, not neat, but I mean, it's something to point out, is that the devil used the word of God too to try and distract him. He knew that word. He had it. That's why it says, hide my word in your heart. So when you won't have to search for it. You'll know it. When the enemy comes, you'll be able to tell him, nope, it's written. It's written. God says that we don't have to live by bread alone, is what that particular scripture said. But it'll be whatever it is. She said, no, God says, I'm with you always. I'm not alone. I'm with you always. So that's one thing to just point out. The devil knew it too. But also that sometimes when you're at your weakest point, which is what Jesus was, he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. So he was at his weakest point. That's a lot of time when the enemy comes to try and distract you, to stop you from doing what God, to cause you to lose your focus. That's when he comes, when you're weak. And that's why it's important to already have his word in your heart, so that when he comes to tell you you're not going to make it. I can think of many nights when I was sick and going through cancer. I can think of many nights late in the night, the enemy would say, you're not going to make it through till morning. You know, and I have to say, God, you said I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. And that's what I'm doing. I had to speak that verse, though. And that's what we have to do to the enemy when he comes to distract us. That God said, I'm going to heal you. You may have to use the word of God to combat those thoughts that come. And so I just want to encourage you today, though, to stay focused. Stay focused. Don't lose your focus. Maintain that focus on what God has called you to do, on his promises, on his love for you. Whatever you need to do to maintain that focus, to ignore the naysayers, to all of those things that come to distract you, all of the obstacles that come, maintain that focus. Maintain your focus in God. Don't let not the kids, not the grandkids, you know, not your job, none of that. Let none of that, the word says, separate you from the love of God. Let none of that stop you from doing and being what God has called you to be. Keeping your focus, maintaining your focus. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today. Lord, I lift you up today. I lift you up because you are worthy of all of our praises. And God, today I'm praying for each one in here, God, who has their own battle that they are battling today, and maintaining that focus on you and knowing that you are a God who will bring them out. So, Lord, we thank you today, Lord, that you are working on their behalf. We thank you, Lord, that you are meeting each one at their very point of need. And we give you praise, honor, and glory for all that you do, God. We thank you, Lord, that you are indeed a healer, that you are healing, God, that you are setting free, that you are delivering. And we thank you for it, and we give you praise. And Lord, we do pray for each issue that each one has, their families, God. We pray for the families of Broadway Christian Church, not just the members here, but their extended family, God. You know what they need. And so we thank you, Lord, for every extended family member here at Broadway Christian. We give you praise, God, that you are meeting them at their very point of need. We thank you today, God, for your healing virtues that flow, that are flowing and touching the minds, the bodies, the souls, God, of each one. And then, God, we do thank you, Lord, for just your peace, God, that you would be a God of peace to each one here today. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.